Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. Hey, we're really glad you're with us this Monday night. We've got a great show for you, and we can't wait to get into it right off. Again, I'm Pastor Joe. This is my wife, Melva. It's going to be a good one, isn't it?
It's going to be a great show. We're excited about what Elizabeth has to share about her insights about what's going on in our state.
Amen. It's going to be a good one. It's going to really be good. So, as you know, we're all believers. We're all conservative believers. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. He says who he says he is. And he died on the cross for our sins, which means they're covered. We know where we're going when we die. And in the meantime, we know that he's walking with us every step of the way. That's what raises our expectations when we trust in him and watch what he can do, not what we try sometimes. Tonight's going to be a really good show. But just before we get going, very quickly, we'll introduce the team again for you. We do this each week so that you'll know who our team guys are, and it's very, very special. And our team lady, two team ladies. You met my wife, Melba. There's number one for us. And so I'm going to start on the West Coast there in Lompoc, California. And that's Dr. Paul Hall. You all know Dr. Paul. He's a retired pastor. He's a teacher, a preacher. He's a writer. He's a blessing to countless men and women all across this nation, and been a friend for many, many, many years. Paul's there in Lompoc next to Santa Barbara. And if we go together, Paul, you and me and Melba, and we head to the East Coast, all the way to the South, actually, part of the East Coast. And we're in Dalton, Georgia. And there we're with two of our favorite people in the world, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And we invite you while we're doing this to turn and check on your website, our website there. It's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. We introduce the team to you, but you can also, while I share, look up each of them and get a little more information. We're going to update some of these things. God's been doing great things. We'll share a little of this with you later on in the program. But you'll want to check in and get to know the folks. They're a blessing to everybody, just like they are to me each week. So there in Dalton, Georgia, we have Craig and Stephanie Thayer. Craig is Stephanie on the left, at least my left, and Craig's on the right. And Stephanie is a businesswoman, a health specialist. She's a great mom, a godly woman that everybody enjoys knowing and being blessed by. She's very, very special that way. And her husband to her left, that's Dr. Craig Thayer. And Craig is a great finished product because she worked very hard on him. So she did a really good job. And we're really glad that he's there. He's our brother in the Lord. He's one of those men you really want to know and pray with and just watch the power of God work. He's a surgeon, a trauma surgeon, and they have done mission work together in Africa and in the Caribbean and other places. So they're really neat. They're a tremendous team. And we're blessed to have them on our team, and especially to know them as our personal friends and ministers. So you'll find them here. He's got a great book on the website there, and it's called Saved. Saved is a great book. It's right there in the middle of our website. You want to copy that. It's your story of his life and how he watched God work in his life and the everyday things that God did to teach him and grow him. It's an incredible time. You'll see it right there. It's one trauma surgeon's true account of the miracles of his life. And I love the slogan he has, finding God in the ordinary. We all have ordinary things in our life, and this is how God works in the ordinary things of our life. So you want to see Dr. Thayer's book there, and right above it is my book, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. forsaking all, I trust him. Boy, that's the theory to use. And that's the give an answer to what you need. He's always there to accept it by faith. So you'll find those books on our website. And if you look there on our website, we continue going together. We make our way down to Texas, actually to the great metropolis of Dallas area there in McKinney, Texas. And in McKinney, you find Pastor Ron Greer, one of our favorite pastors anywhere, and especially there in Texas also. He's he should be the leader of Texas. We voted him in, right, Paul? But anyway, he's in there. He's got it right there. So in any event, he's our guy for the job. And so as we think about him, and we put the guys together on this team, he's with the man in the mirror down in Florida. He's a counselor. He's a pastor. He's done so many things. Read about Ron there on our website and see the different things that he's done. Read about Stephanie and Craig and read about their lives. And Paul also, what he's done. And I know they'll bless you. And thanks for praying for us and for praying for them also. So as we get going tonight, we just want you to know that we're excited about who we have with us tonight. And we'll be having them with us. And that is Elizabeth Wong Allers, who's running for the California State Assembly in District 40, which is the Santa Clarita area of California. She's an incredible lady. We're going to tell you a lot about it here. She and her husband, Ron, are people that will be leading the state in the direction we need to go in. In fact, just as we, before we introduce her, we want to play a clip. And this is Elizabeth Wong Allers. This is a story. You're going to love hearing this for a minute. And TJ, thanks so much, our engineer. He'll pop this on for you in a second. And you'll see the story of who she is.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, a fifth generation Californian. Born here, married here, raised and homeschooled my six kids right here. I'm your classic California mama bear. After earning my doctorate, I chose family over career because I saw our educational system failing our children. We all feel it daily. Schools skipping the basics, sky-high gas prices, exploding homelessness amid rising taxes, unsafe streets, and businesses fleeing. That's no accident. It's one party rule gone too far. During my time as councilwoman, I've seen the possibilities of what we can do if we fought back together. My roots are deep. I'm staying to reclaim our state of innovation, opportunity, beauty, and freedom. Don't just hope. Let's make it happen. Stand with me. I'm Elizabeth Wong Allers, running for state assembly. Join me. Let's make California a place where we can all prosper.
We're excited about that. That tells part of her story right there. We want you to welcome, as we give the round of applause to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, good to have you with us. Welcome to Raising Expectations. And just tell us a little word there about your family with us. We just are going to be following you and doing all we can do through prayer and through support and letting everybody that we know about you. We have people praying for you in Africa and Pakistan and other places, as well as across America. So we got you covered, as Paul often says, and Dr. Hall will say that. We got you covered. Welcome to Raising Expectations. Tell us how you do it.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Joe. Thank you, Paul, Melba, Stephanie, and Craig, and Ron. I think I missed you last time, Ron. So good to see you all again. And I so much appreciate the encouragement. You know, we've got a real spiritual battle that is manifesting in the natural even tonight. Yeah, here in LA County, Los Angeles County, the Republican Party is meeting while I speak to vote on endorsement for candidates. So I had Pastor Joe and Melba praying about this all day. It's very, I don't know, I guess it's the real thing. It's the real thing. We know that there's principalities and rulers and spiritual places, and they're battling over actual geographical areas on the earth. And the book of Daniel talks about how the Prince of Persia is a spiritual entity that was preventing the angel. I don't remember if it was Gabriel or Michael, maybe I don't know which one it was, or both of them, from answering Daniel's prayers. And the angels eventually got through and told Daniel, "We were prevented from coming because of this battle in the heavenly places." And so that's going on all the time, even as we see international wars. But even here, right here in LA County, where I am, it's a spiritual battle manifesting in meetings with human beings that there's lies, there's outright smear campaigns and things that are going on, political maneuvering. And I was thinking this today of James chapter 1 that says, "Count it all joy when you encounter various trials for the testing of your faith." And does that same verse say in like the perfection of your character or something? And so there's people that I don't know. You get both sides of it. Somebody says, "How can she be fighting against so and so?" And but then the whole last 6 months, everybody was saying, "Oh, she's too nice." And they're saying, so there's criticisms on both ways, and saying, "Ah, oh, she doesn't fight for herself." But then, insinuations that I'm so nasty, But so I find that as, my whole motivation is not about myself, as you guys know. And I find that I need to maintain love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, and self-control, as a person, to have to continue to be the light, if that light and truth, because if anger and bitterness become the way that I fight, it's just undermining who I am and what I represent. But it's very, I'm learning a lot. It's very hard. I'm learning a lot. So the prayers all over the world are helping me to continue to represent the Lord and grow in wisdom and knowledge and competence and skill and even debate skills.
Amen. That's it. Well, hey, Ron, give her a shot of encouragement. He's been down the road, haven't you, brother?
Oh, you're on mute, Ron.
Sorry. Oh, man. I said I was going to try to avoid telling those stories because I didn't want you to be encouraged. Again, I because part of my brain, when I'm listening to your story and the things going on, I've got memories coming back and the anger kind of grows in the back of my head. So, but again, I can only echo what the scripture says, right? That God is a refuge. He's one fighting. He's sovereign. He's deciding what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. And no, even though you have all these folk who are playing these silly games around, God is still sovereign. I would say, keep trusting him, keep stepping and keep walking to where he's lead you and keep trusting him. He'll decide the outcome. It's in his hand, and he decides left or right. I was the prayer I think about is Psalm 59. I probably shouldn't, but it just comes and becomes in mind whenever this kind of things comes up, because it seems so wicked and evil in the first place and dark. And as you said, it's demonic attacks. So been there a number of times, but Psalm 59 says, "Deliver me from my enemies." Oh my God, deliver me for those who rise up against me, those who want to deliver me. I said, no, to deliver me from the work of their evil hands, and deliver me from the what is the oh what is it? Oh, save me from the bloodthirsty men. So in other words, it goes on. The entire thing is about folks who are constantly after him, constantly fighting against him, constantly attacking him. For what purpose? The purpose is to keep him from being in a position where he can represent the God of heaven. So I say I and be encouraged, and we'll keep praying and trust God in the process. He has already decided that no one can form any weapon, any lie, any process, any trick against you that God doesn't allow to take place.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Did you?
I know in your message here, you had mentioned some things that you're battling with. And so I'm sure, I was talking to Ron earlier, you probably turned some rocks over they don't appreciate, but you talked about the educational system. You talked about homelessness, taxes raising up so fast. You even mentioned something I remember seeing, unpaved streets, where your pothole streets should be renamed. And then the education school skipping bases. We've all kind of thought about some of those things. Anybody have something to share maybe in that line to encourage her what she said?
Sure. I mean, we left California almost 5 years ago, and just watching your promotional, I'm like, yes. Because all of those things resonated with us and our choices, and I love that you said that you are staying there. There's so much good about California, and it's
Yes.
very sad to see. And we need to have people that are willing to stand up, that are willing to do the hard, like this evening, there's a battle over you actually being represented as you should be and things being aligned. And so I'm really grateful for you and people like you that are willing to do that, because if we stay quiet, what is the result, right? And we can be vocal without being disrespectful, but
Yes.
being quiet is a mistake.
Yeah, right.
You guys got
So
to come back, go back, right? Help fight. You guys going back?
I don't
What
think
did I hear that?
so. No, I
Yeah.
think they're coming back.
Visit our grandchildren.
The refugees coming back home.
All the way back. Come on.
Yeah, I
Oh,
think
that's
that there's, well, our Lord Jesus is multifaceted. He
yeah.
came as a sacrificial lamb the first time, and people didn't understand what he was doing to have victory over sin and death and the devil. They were expecting a political king at that time. And the second time Jesus is coming, he is coming back as a political king. And in the meantime, between his first and second coming, we are his hands and feet on the earth, and we are his voice of truth and proclaiming. And like John the Baptist came to Herod and said, "Hey, you're not supposed to have your brother's wife." And he got his head lost for it. But if we are the light, sometimes we have to shine it right in somebody's face. And if we don't, the darkness will just they won't the darkness won't stop. I think the devil knows that his time is limited, and so he doesn't play by any nice rules. But we as representatives of King Jesus, and so we have these no kings protests, right?
So,
America
so
has
true.
no king, but we as Jesus hands and feet on the earth, we do have a king, and he's a
Amen.
good king, and he's a righteous king. And when there is injustice to children, when there's human trafficking, these kind of things that are horrible and hidden, and Jesus wants the light shined on the evil. And then even fiscal fraud, $100 billion of fiscal fraud in California, our tax money, God wants the light shined on that. All of these things that are hidden and evil, he in his way and in his time, he does want light to shine and evil to be exposed. But it is got to be his way and his time, and that's what I pray every day. Lord, don't just help me to step like one of those stepping stones at a time.
That's right.
I
But I think,
I'm
oh,
sorry. Go ahead, Craig. Go ahead.
so I just think I've heard that currently tonight, actually, you have people who are wolves putting on sheep's clothing. They've gone from another party, the wolf, and put on the clothes of another party that may affect you. Can you explain that?
Yeah, there's I don't know all of the intention, whose intention it is and who's pulling strings, but there are two men that have jumped in the race as Republican candidates who have recently been Democrats. So, they should not be endorsed by the Republican Party because they have not held to the platform values of the party, as I have. So people that applaud the football players that take a knee at a football game instead of stand for the national anthem, that should not be endorsed by the Republican Party. Guys that lie during a debate when they're asked, how did you vote the th last three elections? They completely flat out lie to the record, their voting record. So even Prop 50 that was la voted on last year, this guy that changed his registration status did not vote on that. So, the incumbent in this seat, she's had a lot of criticism for not voting as an elected official, where she in 2024 there was an article written that she had 2,000 opportunities to vote no against legislation in California's legislature, and she chose to not vote at all so that she wouldn't be on the record. But she could have voted no 2,000 times.
Right.
Wow.
Wow.
And so these I call them fake candidates, fake Republicans, that he didn't even vote in the last three elections. So he voted 2024, but not in the others. Not than the recent one for against Prop 50 and the redistricting that Gavin Newsom engineered. So these are.
The paycheck should be tied to whether you vote or not.
Where's the whole point?
What's your purpose? To
Right.
occupy a seat?
Right. So there's a lot that she did vote yes on, right in line with her Democrat Party. But when she could have stood for her district in voting no against harmful legislation, she didn't vote at all.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Yeah, I think that you may have touched on something before, but going back to my experience in my campaigns, I will say that someone finally did come and say it out loud, though. But the reason the party abandoned me and then worked against me, my own party, was the fact that they had determined that I was too conservative. And I
Yes.
was a right-wing Christian conservative, and that I wasn't controllable and wasn't reliable to go along the party line. Any chance
Well,
that you're coming up against that?
yes, that's exactly what it is, and the exact word. So, in 2024, there was a LA County endorsement meeting of the Republican Party, and I was running for state senate in San Gabriel Valley area, and the woman that was running in of the Santa Clarita area. She was up for endorsement. I got the party's unanimous endorsement that year, and she did not, because she had voted as an assemblywoman in the seat that I'm running for now, for Proposition 1 to be put up to vote, which basically let the door wide open for abortion to be put into our California Constitution. Mm-hmm. And so there were enough Christians that night in the endorsement meeting, so she did not receive an endorsement, and I was one of those Christians. And she approached me and asked me if I would endorse her, and I said, by my conscience, I cannot. But she said, will you abstain? So I did abstain from the vote that night, but she won her election, so she's a sitting senator, and she has told people that I'm too conservative for her to support as an assembly member. So she may be instrumental in bringing in these other candidates to run against me. Mm-hmm. So it's exactly that. Yep.
And I think I asked the conversation last time, but again, tell the audience why it's important for Bible believing Christians to be engaged politically, why we should be running for office and out actively supporting candidates.
Yes. Well, if our leadership in our government here in the United States is led by people who lie and cheat, and their most important goal is their personal ambition, rather than doing what is healthiest for our nation, our state, our neighbors, our children, then, you know, like, that's just obvious. Our people are going to suffer, as we're seeing in California, and the next generation, if they're able to wake up in time to turn things around for their generation, it's going to be so much harder than if we just do it now for them. Yes. So, our America is so unique that we can participate in our process because we have no king. Right? We the people are the king. We are the ones that should be leading, and we should be voting for leaders that represent what is good and what is righteous, so that, like Proverbs says, that if the righteous are leading, then the people rejoice. And when the unrighteous lead, the people groan. And we've been hearing so much groaning lately, right?
Amen.
But this is an interesting little anecdote that yesterday my brother was saying that he went to the tax guy, and he saved thousands and thousands of dollars on his taxes because of the big, beautiful bill that Trump pushed through. And so he told his wife, who sometimes complains about the president, hey, you can't complain about the president unless you are complaining about all this money we're saving. So, you know, so there's an example that they might not be, you know, as conservative as I am, but they're rejoicing because something good is happening for their family when there's a good leader in.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll add that the most egregious thing, this aborting babies, is directly tied to when the church disengaged from politics. I'll lay that claim. That accusation. I will say the thing that is interesting to me and gives me a glimpse of hope as well. I was following the cancellation of the Democrat debate on the 24th. You know, the racist debate.
Yeah, right.
But as I'm reading through the criteria, I'm still looking at Hilton and Blanco. What's his name? The other Republican.
Bianco.
Bianco.
Oh, yeah.
They're still, I guess the last I saw, all the polls averaged out to about 16% for each one of them. And then every other Democrat I looked at other than Swalwell, they were all polling somewhere around, well, Swalwell and Steyer and what you call it, about 10%. And then everybody else is 1% or less. So I'm looking at that and going, if Republicans are polling that high, your chances of that down ballot impact may be indeed a miracle in play here.
Yes. Yes, amen. Yeah, I was this morning, I was singing with a friend on the phone to build up my spirit, and we were singing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, and the chorus is He's working even when we don't see it. He's working even when we don't feel it, and He never stops. And so amen, Ron. Amen. Gosh, we don't, and we just keep praying, more Lord, even what we don't see, He's working.
Praise God. Praise
God. God is faithful. God is faithful to us as we are faithful to Him. And so I feel like this is going to turn around. It's got to. This state cannot continue with this type of governing, because it's hurting. It's hurting the communities in this state. And fortunately, we're blessed. You know, we have everything we need, but one day it's going to hit us. And when it hits us, it's going to be hard. But I know that God is faithful and that He will continue to use you. That's what impresses me, that you have stayed in this area, in this political arena, as a Christian politician. That's what our prayer is, that God will strengthen you. You know, He stands behind you. He fights the battles before you, and He stands beside you. So that's your protection and your way of getting through all of this.
Amen.
So, thank you, Melba. I was telling my dad yesterday, because my mom's been having health problems, so I've been with my family a lot in the midst of all this other political stuff. And I was telling my dad that I think God made me in a way that I prefer to, like, face these political battles in the real political realm, rather than, like, I think I learned some of it from church politics, which my dad has been in church politics all his life. And I was telling him, you know, Dad, I'd rather, like, do the real thing than play the politics in the church world.
Yeah, there's plenty.
I've heard of no such thing before. What do you mean?
Yeah, right. I've been in 14 different churches, so I've been there.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's on every level. It's on every level, the wheat and the tares, I think. But, we expect it, you know, when it's Democrats, Republicans. And if I get beat up, persecuted as a Christian in the political realm, you know, then, you know, that's my crown of glory.
That's right. They're going to remember you. They're going to remember you. But you're going to win.
That's right.
You're going to win this time.
That's right.
Keep in mind, Jesus says that the servant isn't any. Servant's not greater than a master. So
that's right.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right. Yeah. You know, a lot of times I've thought about, you know, why do they hate me? They complain that I'm too nice. So why do they hate me? And then I remember they hated Jesus without cause.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Not really about you.
We will.
Exactly. Not about you at all. Well, the one thing that in Marine Corps we had this saying, right? Well, anyway, it was kind of weird, but we changed it where it says if people are attacking you, then you're over the right target.
Right. Yeah.
You're over the target. Otherwise, they wouldn't be shooting at you.
Amen.
So you know you're in the right trap if they're fighting for you.
The yes. Navy SEALs say embrace the suck.
Right. Embrace, yes.
They say the same thing in
embrace
seminary.
Embrace the suck is what he said. And in some ways, I mean, it is a big compliment, Elizabeth. Yeah. There's other yes. people that have thrown their hat in the race. And I mean, not that it's enjoyable or something that we want, but you're a threat. And yes. there's a reason yes. that you're a threat. You
absolutely.
You ooze sincerity and purity, and they know that.
Yes.
Right.
They're
you're
not used to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And you can argue the word of Christ. I mean, actually, look at Bronx State, Texas. They have a guy running that's on the other party that's claiming Christianity, and he's a progressive seminary student.
Yeah.
Like, completely away, like, Satan counterfeits everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Completely right. away from that.
Yeah.
So he's another wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's yeah. right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
I'm a sheep.
They join
I'm a sheep in sheep's clothing.
Well, you know, in this California, they may have, you know, Gucci
sheep.
Gucci. Hey, Elizabeth, I see a Craigie Bryce. See, I see a little shiny, a little grin over on Paul's face. See that, Ron? I know there's something cooking between those eyes.
Ron, that's right. Paul was saying, there's no politics in church. Come on, Paul.
Well, first of all, shame on you all for thinking that politics has any part of church life. Are
exactly.
you kidding me? I've never seen it happen. You should repent. You should repent.
Yeah.
You know what's really dangerous about making statements like that is they can be altered and used against you. And Elizabeth, you're a troublemaker.
Yeah, amen.
And that's just the deal. You know, I was thinking about, and I mean that in a you know, real positive way. In Acts chapter 17, there was a statement about the church in Thessalonica. It said, you know, don't let those people come in here because everywhere they go, they cause trouble and they're turning the world mm-hmm. upside down. So you're in from a good lineage, you know, to do that. And I admire people who are willing to be the point of the spear because it's just not yes. a place to be. I've always been curious about how much our faith, and I want to be careful how I say this, being Christians and followers of Jesus, we are engaged in warfare. We really are.
Amen. Amen.
And we can't afford to lay down and say, oh, well, you know, the Lord's in control, you know, and da, 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 da. I mean, he intends us to be engaged and yes. to lock into it. And I think the man I was named after was my uncle, and he was killed on Saipan in World War II. And after the war was over, my grandmother received a book from the 2nd Marine Division. And I can remember as a little kid when I opened that book because I was fascinated. And the first page, there was a picture of a Japanese soldier. And underneath that, all it said is, this is the enemy. And when you stop to consider this is the enemy, it's wise for us Christians to realize how subtle the enemy truly is.
Mm-hmm. You know,
he's an ancient foe who knows all the tricks. Mm-hmm. And if I know the scripture and you all straighten me out, he seems to take delight in parading before the throne of God, trying to accuse the saints.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know?
And we need to be aware of that because, and I'll quit with this. I was reading today in Ephesians chapter 6 how important it is to realize the nature of the warfare and how we put on all of the armor of God. And it seems like to me that if we leave one piece off, we're in trouble. You know, mm-hmm. we are. And so we put on the whole armor of God. But I was reading early on, there's a translation that I really like to read. It's called The Voice. And it talks about how we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against what this translation said, tyrants and authorities and supernatural powers. And then it says, we fight against demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world. Slither. Mm. That's just a powerful word, slither, you know, slithering in the dark.
Yeah.
And then it says, we fight against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. And, you know, to stop to think about that, that pretty well covers a big gamut. So we need to be alert, you know, to stand our ground, to be ready to give an answer for those who ask the questions. And I think you are, you know, and certainly we'll be praying for you. And then I would just want to close in Ephesians 6:19, Paul says, pray that the truth will be with me before I even open my mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
Powerful verse of scripture. No. Pray that the truth will be with me even before I open my mouth, you know. No. So I just want to encourage you. And I think it's just a really tough thing to talk about and to think about the nature of spiritual warfare. I mean, it's for real. If I could
Paul, what was that reference again, please?
Ephesians 6:19.
Okay.
Reference. Just to close with another thing, I was watching Gutfeld the other night, kind of a fun thing to watch now and then. Interesting enough, they talked about demons. And I thought, well, this is going to go in a funny way. You know, what are they going to say about it? Tom Shiloh was on there. He's the one that did the impersonation of President Biden. He did it so well. But he says, I believe this is real. And he says, I believe that only those who are spiritually minded and alert to it, they're the only ones who can see it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Those who are ignorant of it, they can't even see it. You know, they're just kind of pawns, you know, moving through. So here we are in love with Jesus and followers of Jesus, and I can agree. I think we're the only ones who can see it, you know, the true nature of it, what it's really about. So I say go get them and be on the point, and truth's going to precede you wherever you go, you know. Yeah.
I got to say this one thing, Paul, where Elizabeth, he said, the armor of God. I just love the way you said that, Paul. And you probably remember, Paul, I don't know where we picked it up, but interesting. You have to be going into the battle with the armor of God, just like you are, because the armor of God doesn't protect your backside.
Mm-hmm.
It only protects the front when you're marching forward by faith, like Paul said. So you're doing it all right.
Yeah. Hey, and on that same, I have a thought, right? So I was in the Marine Corps also. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I recall one of the stern lessons that you learned when you learned the military code of justice. And Marine sergeants and instructors have a very unique way of phrasing things. So I can't use their language. But there was an understanding that there are certain violations of the military code of justice by which you could be executed. Mm-hmm. And one was desertion in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, even executed on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're 19-year-old or 17-year-old, someone says it to you, your eyes kind of light up. But they go on to explain it, though. Mm-hmm. One of the most crucial things within a fighting unit is this camaraderie and commitment to one another. We die for one another. We stand together, right? The idea is that if the one guy who runs off impacts the attitude and the courage of the men left behind.
That's right.
But vice versa. The guy who stands firm in the midst of when the battle gets crazy, mm-hmm. it inspires those around him.
Yes.
And the proof of that is that you read the number of stories, the number of heroes, Audie Murphy, go on all down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about how inspired their units were and how mm-hmm. they marched forward, because that one guy in the face of enemy, in the face of death, pressed on. right?
I
see the same thing with you and people and other Christians involved who do not compromise their faith, do not compromise their worldview and principles, but who continue to push forward and stand firm in the midst of what is by anybody's measure, a wicked and dark area of our culture and nation. So I say you're doing amazing work, amazing thing, and it doesn't go unnoticed. I want to see more people like you, and I think what you do is inspire others to do the same thing. Because there's someone looking back going, well, wait a minute. If she can take the hits, I can do it.
That's right.
May I throw in just one more illustration that comes on my mind? I appreciate what you said, Ron.
Yes, thank you, Rod. Thank you.
There's an illustration in the movie Black Hawk Down, if you saw that. Yeah. And there was one particular officer that said, I'm going to paraphrase, we can't come to help you because we are combat ineffective. That was the phrase, combat ineffective. And I do believe that part of the agenda of the evil one is to hinder us and obstruct us and to knock the soldiers out of combat. You know, if he can neutralize the message, just neutralize the message, then he really makes us combat ineffective. He really does. And he can only do that if we allow him to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Can I give one more military analogy? Ron is your medic. Your husband is your medic.
Wow.
For what the medics do. They're not Marines. They're Navy. And they get trained. And in the middle of gunfire, they're running out to save someone that's just barely moving. They know he's still alive. But to drag him in and save their life. And that gives the Marines the hope. Even though they've been shot so much up, that they have a chance of survival. He's there to rescue you when you need it. So go fight.
Yes. Wow. I don't know if I've told you guys this before, that this political venture we're on, it's like the culmination of our marriage. we just had our anniversary last Tuesday. We actually had the celebration with the family yesterday, 36 years. And we've been doing, you know, like I did the kids and he did the bring home the bacon part. And then, you know, and then we juggle everything for 30 years. And then the last, how many years now? The last 4 years, we've been really doing this campaigning together. And it's like the first time I've seen our giftedness come out so complimentary. And I'm like, no wonder God put us together. Because, you know, for many years I was like, why are we, you know, why did God put us together? Because, you know, it's, you know, however the giftedness and the family raising time, it was, you know, I sometimes scratching my head. But in this political realm where it's like, whoa, you know, yeah, Ron's just exactly the strength and the common sense, the stability, the medic, you know, that I can do this with. And so sometimes my campaign team doesn't always get it, that I have to go through Ron first before we make a decision on which direction we're going to take on messaging or finances or events. And even tonight, like I'm doing this and he's representing me there. And because if our marriage is undermined by the politics, then what are we doing it for?
Yes.
Because what
Amen.
we're representing those things that will strengthen the family,
Yes.
and
Yes.
marriage is foundational. And so if me as the candidate does anything that is undermining the marriage, and I'm not saying, if I don't feel Ron is with me on this, then, I've got to tell the team, no, we can't do that.
Praise God. I love that.
Amen. And
Elizabeth, I
everybody
wanted
sees
to say the, because this is the female version of the war.
it.
One of my girlfriends says we have to be studying war in scripture. It's our blueprint. We need to look at it. And so I was trying to find it on my phone. I couldn't find it. But when David assembles his army, the very front of the army is actually the worshipers. So I love that you said you were on the phone with your friend, the worshipers and the prophetic. They're actually in front of the flags, they're in front of everything. What a position, because that's not what we think of. We think, I'm going to put my Goliath in the front. And the Lord's like, no, you come to me, you humble yourself, you glorify me, you listen to my word, you repeat that back to the army, and that's how we go into battle, right? Which is so counter to what society teaches us.
Yes.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
The battle is the Lord's. Yes.
Amen. That's
Well, thank you all for that confirmation.
right.
Keeping my perspective.
Yes.
Thank
Praise
you.
God.
Well, folks,
Oh.
we've got 3 minutes left. Ron, how about praying for, how can we pray for you very quickly, Elizabeth, with our time? How can we pray for you? We know what you tell us.
Yeah, well, all of this spiritual stuff, because we know that it's the battle is first fought in the spiritual realm before it manifests in the natural. And then yeah, so praying for family, marriage, and then finances. I have a wonderful team, and I want to be able to compensate them for all that they're putting out there in their heart. And so that's my main thing. The Republicans always want, millions of dollars, but I just want to be able to pay my team.
Well, folks, you can see that on the website right now. You can see how you can restore California's Golden State with Elizabeth's help there. She can use that. And as you pray, God will lead your heart in that direction. And we'll see a great California comeback. And she'll lead the way for us because Christ is her Lord and Savior. And everybody's watching. And it's always going to be good. Ron, we only have a couple minutes. Could you just pray for and all of us and join and lead us for protection and leadership for
Let's do that. God, we again thank you for our sister and brother who have obeyed your call, Lord, to be soldiers on the front line in this battle for our nation and for our families and for marriage. Lord, we pray as understanding that the evil one is attacking and he attacks from every single side. So we pray, first of all, for their marriage, that as you have bound them together, Lord, in covenant and Lord, made them a team. I pray, Lord, that you would protect them from the evil one's lies and whispers and tricks and trains to get in between the two of them. Lord, also, those of us who've been involved, understanding how difficult and how hard elective office can be on a marriage. So we pray, Lord, that you would give them your strong presence.
Yes,
And Lord,
amen.
in that presence, Lord, they would sense afresh anew every day. And in that presence, they would be comforted. Lord, they'd be strengthened, that their eyes would be keenly open and focused where you'd have them to be. We pray also, Lord, that in the midst of your presence, Lord, they'd be assured again that you are a sovereign, loving God who has sovereignty over all things, even this minor everything things in our campaign. So we pray, Lord, that you would show yourself faithful. Give her great favor
Amen.
in finances and her team. And Lord, as she goes forward, continue to make her light shining bright to encourage others. In Jesus'
Amen.
name, amen.
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 Amen. Well, all
Oh,
right,
bless you, my
folks.
sister.
Thanks so much, Ron. And Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Love you guys, every one of you. We're running out of time, but it's been great. Elizabeth, this group will be praying for you. You're going to feel their power, their prayer every day, and we'll be talking Amen. With you. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks. Remember who to vote for here. Pray for her if you're not voting there. Look it up. Check our site, and we'll go from there. See you next week. Okay. She'll be back with us on the 13th, and you'll be praying and hearing more from Ron and Elizabeth on the 13th of April. Okay. See you
soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Bless you.
Thank you all.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.